The question is not whether or not God is speaking. He's always speaking. The question is, are we hearing? Are we listening? Amen? Are you listening to what the Spirit of God is saying to the church? Not even saying to the church, saying to you individually. I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't that say, "Well, I'm hearing enough. I don't want to hear God better or clearer." I don't know anybody that's a believer that's saying everybody raise your hand if you want to hear more clearly. You want to hear better. I want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I don't know anybody in the church that's like, "Man, I want to hear God." That's one of the biggest questions. How do I hear God? What is He saying? How is He speaking? What is He saying to me? What is He saying to the church? What is He saying in this hour? And I would even go as far as to say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that even more so now, more than ever, the church needs to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen? What God is saying, because there's so much noise going on in the world. There's so much, I'm talking about just noise that's going on. And so we need to get to a place, I believe God is saying, that we get to a place where we can hear what God is saying to us, speaking individually to us. I remember listening to Catherine Kuhlman talking about back if you don't know, she was an evangelist, prophetic evangelist back in the day. How many of you guys remember Catherine Kuhlman? I heard that name. Anyway, she was saying she went to go visit a friend who lived in New York, and she was there visiting her. And she said, as they were talking, there was a rumble. And I'm talking about cups started, it's almost like an earthquake. Cups started shaking. They were having tea together, and plates started rattling. And all of a sudden, just this big, like a boom. And the lady just kept on talking and carried on the conversation. And she said, "How can you live like that? I mean, what is that?" She goes, "That's the subway above the house." And so she goes, she said, "After a while, you get used to it. And you just get used to it." She goes, "How do you sleep?" She goes, you just get used to it. And I thought about that. And so Catherine said, that's just like some of the body of Christ. The noise has gotten so loud and so strong and so normal that the church has gotten used to just the noise. And so in the middle of the noise, we're not able to hear. And so we've just gotten used to it. That just happens all the time. I'm telling you, God, even in the middle of the noise, God is saying, "I'm speaking." Then you got people that are saying, "I want to hear God's voice. I need to hear God's voice." I'm telling you, read the word. Amen. They go, "Yes, Pastor Chris, you always say that. I want to hear His voice audibly." Read it out loud. Read it out loud. If you want to hear His voice audibly, read it out loud, because it's still His word. The Bible says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but His word remains forever. I'm telling you, His word is forever settled in heaven. I'm telling you that the word of God is powerful, is sharp, quicker than and any two-edged sword, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God will remain forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain. You hear what I'm telling you? So you want to hear, we're going to talk about that today. How do you hear? I'm starting today, starting a new series on how we're hearing God. But before I talk about hearing God, I'm going to talk about hindrances to hearing God. Are you ready for this? You got your Bibles? Can I see them? I want to see your Bibles. I want to see, Pastor Colonel talked about last week, bring your Bibles. Let me see them. Raise them high. Even your electronic devices or whatever. You guys got your Bible? Okay, let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, it's the engrafted word of God that's able to save our souls. We're asking, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, not only to be hearers of the word, but also doers of Your word, so that we don't deceive ourselves. So I'm asking You, Lord, as Your anointing breaks every yoke of the enemy, anything that we're yoked up with today that we're not supposed to be, I'm asking You to break it off right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking, Lord, and You would give us ears to hear the word of God. But not only that, help us to be obedient to Your word. It's one thing for us to hear, but another thing for us to be obedient to Your word. So I'm asking You to help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're talking about hearing God, one of the things that I'm going to dive into, I'm going to have scripture, but at the same time, you understanding that faith is still the currency of heaven. It's still the currency of heaven. If it's not anything that is not of faith is sin. and anything that you tell me faith. And how he says the one thing that transposes from heaven to earth for you to receive things back and forth, prayer, everything, reading his word, being a Christian, living the godly life, has to do with faith. Amen. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that true? If you can look it up, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. And it says that because you must believe that he is. And that he, not only that he is, but he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is it true? Then, as we talk about faith, is that substance, the very thing, the essence of heaven, the very thing that we believe. It's by faith that the worlds were made. Abraham stepped into faith. Hebrews talks about all the different heroes of faith, people that believe and believing that those things, they didn't see the promise. They never saw the promise, but at the same time, they were able to have faith when it was accounted. And Abraham was accounted to him, faith, believing that God says, what God says is and what he does, what he says, he's a God of his word. Amen? Amen. So there's faith. Now, how do you get faith? You know, you guys know this. It's the word. Now, faith comes by
hearing.
Say it like you mean it. Faith comes by
hearing.
Not only just hearing, but hearing by the word of God. The only reason why faith can come, just like we get faith any type of way, faith comes by hearing. And you got hearing, not just hearing anything, not just hearing noise, not just hearing doubt and unbelief. It doesn't come that way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, in Hebrews 11:1, and the evidence of things not seen. Faith. You want faith? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me just say something to you. If you're guests or you're new watching online, let me just say this to you. You need to hear this because I need to refresh you on this. We believe that only if faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the word of God, we believe the word of God in this church. We don't preach opinion, and nobody cares about my opinion or what I think or whatever. There's only one opinion that matters, and that's Jesus. There's a second close, and that's my wife. But everybody else, by the way, I knew they were doing this, the karate and the self-defense. I got a little worried. I ain't going to lie to you. I got a little worried. I was like, honey, I mean, you know, we all right? Are we okay? Teaching the women of the church the self-defense. She goes, well, I just thought it would be fun. That fun, not fun for me. You know what I'm saying? Not fun for me. And I thought about this. It's a funny story. Long time ago, it's true. This happened a long time ago. We were in an argument, and she got so mad at me, she picked up a shoe and she threw it at me. And I thought I had skills. Let me just tell you. I was like, I didn't even see it coming, man. I'm just telling you, I see it coming. But I did that Matrix deal while I was trying to maneuver from the shoe. And let me tell you something. That shoe was prophetic because it knew where I was going to dodge. She threw that shoe at me, and I was just like, I mean, I thought I was quick enough, and I bent down to dodge the shoe, and I dodged down where the shoe was coming. It curved and hit me in the head, and I was just like, oh, my goodness. How did she know I was going to dodge left when I should have went right? I was bobbing and weaving, and so now I'm really scared because, you know, y'all be doing self-defense deal, and so it may not be a shoe. It could be hands. So... ladies, take it easy on us. Like I told you to take out the trash. Well, anyway, so got me a little nervous. Okay, I'm going to talk about four hindrances to hearing. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
It's important. If you're taking notes, you need to be taking notes. I'm going to talk about four hindrances to hearing. The first one is being dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll start at verse 5. Here's what it says. I have to have you turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Remember, these scriptures, the writer of Hebrews, remember, they don't necessarily, this debate on who wrote Hebrews. I got my suspicions, but we're going to focus on that. But Hebrews 5, verse 5 says, so also Christ did not glorify himself, became high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications and vehement cries and tears to him, who was also able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. There he's talking about Jesus. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say. Listen, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. He's saying you become, I'm talking about Christ to, he's talking about Christ, the Hebrews, and I'm talking about him in the order of Melchizedek, but at the same time, I can't go into it deeper because you have become dull of hearing. And I want to ask you this. If you become dull of hearing, then that means at some point your hearing was sharp. Amen? You don't start off dull, saying you become dull, because at some point your hearing was sharp. And so he goes on to that, and here's how the effect of that. For though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come need of milk and not solid food. You have to have milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hearing is a sense. Amen? Earlier, last year, we were talking about maturity and how that it's not about you just coming to church, not just about you attending on Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever, but about growing into maturity. So he's saying, I have so much I want to tell you. I'm telling you, there's so much that I want to release to you, but I can't because you've become dull in hearing. And I want to share this with you. I want to give this to you, but you've grown. You've become. That means at some point though, in the beginning, you were quick to hear. You were sharp in your hearing. Amen. And so he's saying, and that's one of the hindrances. We can't go further. There are things that I believe God wants to release to us, to the body of Christ, but I believe the church has become dull of hearing. It's true, become dull of hearing. How was it? Do you remember when you first got saved and you were all about the word? You were in the word. You know, even if you didn't know, he's like, I don't even know what I just read, but it was good. You know what I'm saying? You were trying to get a word. I'm asking and praying that the sharpness of hearing would return back to the church. And we would be eager to hear the word of God. So become dull of hearing. If that's you, because you can identify yourself, if that is you. And let me tell you something. I worked for Delta Airlines on the ramp. We were loading planes. That was my job from when I was working, when I was going to Christ for the Nations. I was in college. And it was required that when the planes would come in, I would be there to meet the planes when they would come in, and we would load them. But they would come in, some of those 727s, 737s, 767s, and even those L-1011s, those big planes, you had to have hearing protection. There would be some times where I would run out and did not grab it, and the planes would never be loud, and it would be loud. And so it's affected my hearing. Vanessa says, oh my gosh, it's affected your hearing. The truth is that it has. Over time. And one of the things when I started the course to learn how to work on the ramp and these different planes, the instructor said, if you ever get to a point where you said, I'm just used to the planes coming in, then you have hearing damage. Because there's some times when those planes would come in screaming, 727s, and I'd gotten be so loud, forget hearing protection, I got to get out there and get the plane loaded, I got to get out there and get it done, I got to get out there and whatever, and I forget hearing protection, I'm telling you, it affected my hearing. You hear what I'm saying? And here's what I want to tell you. Some of you are going about your day like that. I got to get this done. I got to move this way. I got to go this way. I got to. And I'm telling you, God's saying, I want you to sit and I want you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I believe God wants to restore hearing back to the church, dull of hearing. So that was that. That was the dull of hearing. That's the first one. The next one is called hard of hearing. That's another hindrance. Hard of hearing. Acts chapter 28. If you can turn there, we'll start at verse 23. Not that far away. Acts chapter 28, verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, this is, we're talking about Stephen here. Many came to him and at his lodging to explain and solemnly testify the kingdom of God, persuading and concerning Jesus, the law of Moses. Where am I at? The law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening, and some were persuaded by things which were spoken and disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after, oh, this is Paul, the next scripture, Paul, and said one word, the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet, our father, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears, say it with me, hard of hearing, hard of hearing. Not only hard of hearing, but it also says, and they close, and their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should not understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. How many know God wants to heal us? Yes. Here's what it says: if my people called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear. I will hear. And then he'll heal the land. Our land needs to be healed. God wants to heal us. The problem is not, he's not hard of hearing. He still is hearing. He knows exactly. It's us that have grown hard of hearing. So here's what it has to do when you talk about being hard of hearing. There's a verse in Zechariah that I wanted to read that had to do with, it said, not only have they become hard of hearing, but it said they shrugged their shoulders. And then they became hard of hearing, didn't want to hear because it's the word of the Lord, hard of hearing. Now, names, you think about somebody who say, and you talk to somebody and they say they're hard of hearing. Those are people. And when you say something to them, they go, huh? And you've said it twice. You've said it three times. Then you just change the subject because you know what I'm saying? You're not necessarily are hearing. Those are ones that are, it's hard to hear because their ears have had damage so much, they're just hard to hear. I'm telling you, I believe there's people in church, there's a church have become hard of hearing because, again, the damage, just hearing. And let me just tell you something. You cannot listen to the news and the doubt and the unbelief and MSNBC and CNN and even sometimes Fox. I'm telling you, you can't listen to all those things and don't believe that it not affect you. It will affect you. Bill Johnson says that he said, I'm only 6 minutes away from depression. Like, how in the world are you 6 minutes away from depression? He said, if you listen to doubt and unbelief long enough, you'll move in the way of depression and oppression. So we used to sing a song in children's ministry, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear, for the Father up above is looking down with love, be careful little eyes, what you see, ears, what you hear, because what you hear produces something. It produces something. You're just like, well, that doesn't affect me. I'm telling you, it produces something. And what you feed your spirit, what you feed your spirit, man, whatever it is, the more you feed of whatever that is, you'll become that. You'll hear that. That's all you'll hear. You become hard of hearing. So how will you distinguish the voice of God to the voice of reason, to the voice of the world, to the voice of all trials and tribulation? But he says this, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Do you know the voice of God? Do you know the voice of God? Have you heard the voice of God? Have you familiarized yourself with his voice? I'm telling you what, I can be in a crowd of people and hear Vanessa call my name. And I'm telling you, it is a sweet sound to me. Because I've 25 years, over 25 years, I've known that voice. I can hear that voice. I know it. I know exactly when she's calling my name. When she says, honey, where are you? I'm like, here I am. When she goes, Christopher Darnell McCray, I'm not around. I'm hiding. Well, I know exactly. Not only do I know her voice, I know some of the tones of her voice. Amen? I told you guys, when I hear her say, you just go ahead and do whatever you want to do, big guy. Don't do whatever it is that you want to do. I figured some stuff out. I learned some things. You know what I'm saying? You learn some things after a while. So I know the tone of her voice. You know what I'm saying? So do you know his voice? Do you know him? I believe we need to familiarize ourselves with his voice. First one, dull of hearing. Second one, he talks about hard of hearing. Now, here's another one that is this. These words are not in the Bible, but I'm going to prove it to you. This is a third one. Selective hearing. This is the one that Vanessa says I suffer from. Selective hearing, where you hear what you want to hear. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The church has become this way where we hear the things that we want to hear. Be selective hearing. We say, what do you mean by selective hearing, Pastor Chris? This is what I mean by selective hearing. There's things that have said, but you kind of pick out the different things that you heard. You know, I only hear the things I want to hear. You want the word of God, but we treat the word of God like trail mix. We want to pick out the M&Ms out of the trail mix and leave all the healthy stuff. Anybody, can I get a witness? Anybody else do that besides me? Don't be trying to act all holy in here. Y'all know y'all be picking. Come on, there you go. I get a witness. There you go. The peanut M&Ms too. You know what I'm saying? Here's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. He's telling Timothy, man, I'm telling you, that even it said with an exclamation point at the end. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So people have, the churches have, itching ears where they only want to hear, it's okay. You can do whatever you want to do. There's grace. There's grace for you to do whatever you want to do. I'm telling you what, you can't do whatever you want to do. Those are incredible. It's all right. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Yeah, he paid for it so that you no longer can walk in sin. He says, be holy as I am holy. There's a way that he's saying we want to hear the things we want to hear. We want to hear the church has gotten to a place we want to hear just great messages that just inspire us to just be okay. I'm telling you, we're not okay if we're not in Christ. And we got to preach the word of God. So he's telling, Paul's telling Timothy, preach the word. And you have itching ears. I'm not going to sit up here. Listen, hell is still hot. And because hell is still hot and we have people that don't know Jesus, I have a responsibility to stand in this pulpit and preach the truth of the word of God unapologetically. I'm not going to apologize for preaching the truth. I'm not going to apologize for telling you the truth. I want you to walk in the way of righteousness because God has called us to walk in that and he's paid for it. But at the same time, preach the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts, even if you don't want to hear it, even if it's hard, even if it's hard for me to tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth, because the truth, you shall know it, and it'll make you free. You hear what I'm saying? So you don't have itching ears. Give us a message. Give us a message that sounds good in my ears, that will give us five principles on how to do better. You know, I'm not doing that. I'm giving you four principles on stop hearing this way. You hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the first time my mother went to the store and got, we didn't know because we didn't have a whole lot of money back in the day. And so first time mother brought us some Q-tips where I'm telling you what, my eyes rolled in the back of my head. You might know what I'm talking about. I didn't know what was going on. I said, man, I don't know. I had so much wax and stuff built up in there, and she was trying to clean it out. And she was just like, she goes, stand still. And I'm telling you what, I couldn't, because I was like, cross-eyed. I'm telling you, I was like, you know. Now you're laughing, but that's what the world is trying to do to us right now. Get to a place where, oh, that feels so good. It feels good. Just give me a feel-good message. I'm telling you what, my dad had a paddle, and he called that Dr. Feel Good, which is an oxymoron. I'm like, that don't feel good, Dad. I don't know if you know that or not, but didn't hurt me. Call it Dr. Feel Good. Like, what in the world? It's that reverse psychology stuff. And some of you are laughing, but some of us need some Dr. Feel Good, the chastening of the Lord. Oh, I know you guys expected me to come in with Happy New Year, but here's what I'm telling you. This is the truth. Don't have selective hearing. Don't walk in a place where you have itching ears. Have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Make sure you're hearing this. Selective hearing. Here's the fourth one. So we have dull of hearing, hard of hearing, selective hearing, and then there's the one where there's no hearing whatsoever. Acts chapter 7. Now this is where I was getting to with Stephen. If there was a person in the Bible that my wife would love to meet, it's Stephen, because he is her favorite person in the Bible. So here we're going to break in. Stephen is he's kind of like me. He's a long-winded preacher. So we're going to break into his message as he's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel, and I want you to hear this, how it's played out. Remember, look up here just for a second. I know you're turning there, but look up here just for a second. Remember, as you read the scriptures, don't just read the scriptures just to read them. Put yourself in that place. You're there, you're listening to Stephen, and you're seeing this scenario happen all at the same time. So he breaks, I'm going to break into his sermon at verse 44. It says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. And he as he appointed and instructed Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought it with Joshua into a land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Aren't you glad about that? And as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? And then the sermon turns. Because instead of just doing a benediction, Stephen breaks out with this. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears. How do you know that's a twist and turn in the message? Wait a minute, let's talk about the house of the Lord. We're just talking about the house of the Lord. He's talking about how he built it with hand. You know, he's building it. Who's going to build the Lord a house? That's a good idea. Let's build the Lord a house. Well, he didn't want your house. He didn't want your house. Then Stephen goes, you stiff neck and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of all the prophets did your fathers not persecute? All of them, every single one of them they persecuted. And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one. Talking about Jesus. So the just and then one is capitalized talking about Jesus. Of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers who have received the law by the direction of the angels and have not kept it. Now, that's a great benediction to a sermon. And this is what happened. As he's preaching, the Bible says in verse 54, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He's saying that after his message, he's saying that. And then they cried out with a loud voice, stop their ears. So there's one, that's the fourth one. Not hearing. They stopped their ears. They put their hand on it. They didn't want to hear at all. They stopped their ears. There's several places in the Bible where it talked about that. And ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Here's the truth. I want you to think about this for a minute. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that they were cut to the heart and they said, brothers, what must we do? What must we do? He says, and then Peter stood up, was preaching a message. After he preached that message, the Bible said they were cut to the heart. And then they said, brothers, what shall we do? He says, repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's for you and for those who are far off. This time when they hear the gospel, they were cut to the heart. But then they stopped their ears. They stopped their ears and they stoned Stephen. How do you go from being cut to the heart over here when the Holy Spirit comes? How do you go from your heart being cut? They were cut to the heart. The Bible, you go back and read it. They were cut to the heart. And then when Stephen preached the same gospel, they were cut to the heart, but they stopped their ears and they murdered somebody. How do you progress from that to this? How do you move from that to this? How do you get to a place where you heard the gospel? Cut to the heart. Same words. That's the same words. Cut to the heart. And then you stop your ears. I'm telling you what. The word of God and the gospel message is offensive. Not everybody can hear it. But it doesn't mean that we need to stop proclaiming the gospel. And what I'm saying to you, our people here that are hearing this message, is that please don't get to a place. Be cut to the heart, but continue to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Yes. And it's through the word of God. Last scripture, last one. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Because every one of these, except for one, is indicative of Jesus telling this parable, and it's explained. I'm almost done. You guys with me? Are you hearing this? Okay, it's good. It's important for you to hear this word, because I believe that he's wanting to open our ears to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Luke chapter 8, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Let me just think about this for a minute. Jesus went to all the villages and cities, and what did he preach? He preached one message, the kingdom of God. Mark 1, it says that the time is fulfilled, repent and believe in the gospel. So that's what he did. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And there were 12, and the 12 were with him. And a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod, steward of Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And I got to stop right here. I want you to listen. I got to stop right here. This is not in the notes, but I'm going to say this just because I know this from seminary. We learned this. What I love about Luke is always putting things in. I told you this. He's putting all these things about the Holy Spirit. And Luke's gospel is the biggest proponent of women in ministry. Fight me on that after the service, but I'm leaving to catch a plane. He is the biggest proponent of women in ministry. I know some of y'all are just like, you can't have. I'm telling you, he's the biggest proponent. Look, search it out. He's the biggest proponent for that. Now, let's get to the parable. Verse 4, it says, and when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seeds, and he sowed, and some fell on the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it had lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second because I want you to know, I don't think he cried out because they were hard of hearing. He cried out because their spirits needed to hear what he was just saying. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus does. There's a reason. He cried out. There's an exclamation point there. Whoever, he who has ears to hear. If you have, I'm not talking about physical ears, spiritual ears to hear. Let them hear. Let him hear. And then it says the purpose of the parables. Then his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And then he explains it. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. I want you to stop here and listen for a second. There is nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is perfect in every way. There's nothing wrong at all with the seed. So I want you to hear that. He sort of goes out to plant the seed. He's not thinking about whether or not there's something wrong with the seed. It is good seed. Everybody said it's good seed. It's good seed. So there's nothing wrong with the seed. And so he goes out. And the word of God is perfect. Verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones who, what? Hear. And you can see that word in all four where he explains. Are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart. Steals it right out of their heart. Lest they should not believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they, what? Hear. Same thing. When they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Remember, the end goal is mature believers. Right, Gerald? Okay, just want to make sure you're paying attention. Bring into maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, they hear the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, bear fruit with patience. I want to be the one that's on good ground. But everyone who hears the word, you got to find out where you are, because the word of God, there's nothing wrong with the word of God. You hear the word of God. We preach the word of God. You read the word of God. You re-preach it. You're into the word of God. Not just you being in the word, but is the word getting into you? David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you." The word of God, when you hear it, it should build faith. When you hear the word of God, everything that you'll come up against in your life, everything that every trial, every tribulation, every place of distraction or anything that's going on in your life, you can find it in the word of God. Jamie said, "Whoever hears these words of mine he does them, they will be like a man who built his house upon the rock." So when the storms of life come, the waves come, the rain comes, or whatever it is, whatever storms of life is, I don't know what storm of life you may be going through right now, but I do know that if you build your house upon the rock with hearing the word of God, and he says not only hearing the word of God, but also doing the word of God. Amen. So it's hearing and it's obeying. Amen. I mean, we got to be obedient to the word of God. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear about being obedient. We just want to do what we want to do. I'm telling you, that does not produce good fruit. It will not bring you into maturity as a believer. I want to say to you, this is part of I'm going to let you slip into some of the Vision Sunday. This year is going to be about you hearing what the Master is saying. What is he saying? What is he telling you to do? Are you going to run with obedience and doing the word of God? It's about hearing and obey. Sometimes I have to ask the Lord to give me grace to obey his word. Anybody else other than me? Because I have the desire to obey. I mean, I want to, but at the same time, I have to have grace. Lord, help me to obey your word. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By heeding to the word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Some of you, he's like, "I just need a word. He's already spoken." Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you hearing what he's saying? I was saying this earlier. So we'll talk about selective hearing. I'm telling you what, as I've gotten older or whatever, but as I said, that's some of that selective hearing you got going on. You just heard what you wanted to hear. I was at a table one time, and my dad said, "Hey, man, you guys make sure you come to the table with verses." I remember one time we were sitting at the breakfast table. I was just like, "Man, this is abuse." He said, "What?" I said, "Pass the juice. I'm thirsty. I was parched. I need to just pass the juice." Well, he would have us come to tables, memorizing scripture. And we were just there this weekend, and I was preaching this eulogy. I mean, I get to a place where I just love quoting the scriptures that I've read, that I've heard as a child. Now, at the time, I didn't like it. I was like, "Dad, why? Nobody else is memorizing these scriptures. They're out playing." He goes, "We ain't everybody else." I'm like, I had a cousin across the street named Jay Bird. I go, "Jay Bird's out there playing." She goes, "You want to go live at Jay Bird house?" You know what I'm saying? Because all the little birds on Jay Bird Street, you know what I'm saying? I'm going there. You don't live over at Jay Bird. I'm like, "Man, I don't know what I'm doing." But I'm telling you what, as I was preaching this weekend, and I was preaching the word of God, and the word of God was just flowing. I looked at my dad when I looked back there, and I saw him wink at me, and it was all the times that came flooding back into me where he had me memorize scripture. He winked at me, and it was a thing between he and I where I looked back and I said, "In Jesus," and I walked back and he was like, you know what I'm saying? He did it with like, you know, he gave me the wink. So black people, we don't wink like y'all. Y'all like, we give him the ugly eye. Anyway, he was just like, that's what he said it without even saying it. That's what I've been trying to get into you since you were a kid. That it's the word of God. The word of God that's able to save you. It's the word of God, hearing, meditating upon, living, breathing, living. The word of God. It's the word of God that'll cut off the excess in your life. How do you know it? Because the Bible says that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul asunder, and is a discerner between the thoughts and intents of the heart. Put it up against the word of God and see what the word of God will do. It'll change your situation. I dare you to speak the word of God. I dare you to quote the word of God. I dare you to be able to stand in the middle of adversity and not say, "Devil, I don't know," and say, "You know what? I know in whom I have believed that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. If God be for me, then he's more than the world that's against me. David said, by my God, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. He's given me everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness. He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing. He has blessed me going in, blessed me going out. When I lie down, I'm blessed. He's given me everything I need. I have the mind of Christ. I get to think his thoughts. I'm telling you, speak the word of God and see won't he change the situation. Not only that, believe me this, not only will it change your situation, but you get enough of the word of God, it'll change you. Transformation will come as a result of the word of God being transformed in me. How do I know? Because you are not supposed to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that I can prove which is acceptable and perfect will of God. You want the perfect will of God? Get in the word of God. It'll change you.